Well, took over Barry, see if any other storm went up, got that, we'll find out pretty soon. I've been doing some thinking, I about getting through before the storm comes. The major mistake that I have made in foreign policy. Failing to follow my EC-121, I write it, and do not follow. I agree with the Iraqis, that's another one. Second point is that I didn't, you did not follow my instincts. So during the third speech, when I had this, having a country with us, you should have gone right at it. Just when they had the country rather than pissing around. The third thing was, I think that you would come up with a conversation concerning who we can be with, and I said, look, if we're going to go all the way on Cambodia, into a blockade or two, or they just as much heat, I think we should have did. The fourth thing, where I did follow my instincts, both you and I follow our instincts, was on Laos, but there that son of a bitch Abrams didn't follow what we told him to do. We should have won the war then. If I had acted then like I acted now, we'd have had enough bombers up there to cream those bastards.
We made two wrong things. We sort of tried to sneak a victory by sliding into Laos without telling anybody.
Well, that wasn't so bad if we won.
But secondly, if you had poured in the resources, if you had not let Blair manage that war, I mean, when I say you, I'm more to blame than you because that's my
fault. Well, you told him to send Hay out, and I did. Some bitch Laird objected. He objected everything. Rogers rejects everything, and nobody comes up with a goddamn.
There's no question that if we had done Laos, it's 3/4 of the energy we'd be out of the war.
Now the situation now is so good. I thought about it all. I had reached a conclusion before you all had talked to Connolly, and I had reached on the erroneous assumption on it, which I led you into. I had thought of this myself, that we could not be in a position of letting the Russians cancel the summit. Because, I mean, if somebody's canceled, if somebody's canceled. We cancel it, they cancel it. I don't think there's going to be a blow either way. The important thing is whether it's held or not. And if they cancel, we'll blame them. If we cancel, we'll blame them. I'm not sure what I heard coming, but I think it's not interesting. But I don't know what's going on. But I do know this. What matters now is not playing for the public reaction, not trying to set it all up. I'm not this time the fact that I have avoided being in Johnson's position. I think, however, that Johnson's position, Henry, is quite different from what of mine has been on the military side. That son of a bitch always did it in a half-assed way, and still didn't go explain to the country. I have explained to the country and appeared like I'm for peace and withdrawing people, but I've also been very strong. I've never tried to do anything in a half-assed way. That's the difference. Now, at this point, as we near the end of this administration, I'm through. And I'm not going to go on with this. That strike is to go off. Favors won't send it off. Blair doesn't order it off. I want more in this goddamn office in 5 minutes. He's going to get his ass out, he's going to work. And if it's a result of that, we lose weight. But that strike should have gone too, but last week, it didn't go. But it's got to go. Now I want to tell you what I have in mind. It's to go. I don't care what the striking answer is. It is to go. And then, it's to go for 2 days. But not 2 days and then wait to see if they negotiate. We'll go for 2 days. And then, we'll wait a little because we've got to get back to the battery. I realize that. And then, the Russians cancel, we will blockade. We will blockade and continue to bomb. But we are now going to win the war. And that's my decision.
president.
They lost the election, I don't give a shit, but we're going to win the war. You see, we are in this position where if we play this cozy contingency, I mean, I thought of the thing, you know, and I suggested, well, how can we do this? Just do enough bombing to get their, you know, we've always said, let's get their attention and all that, and the little shit-ass menu strikes and all the rest. Well, we should have done more even then. Nevertheless, they were better than nothing. But right now, we've done everything to get their attention. We have as much public support as we can get. It will deteriorate as the Senate continues to beat us over the head, and as the bad news comes in from the war. We have got to do something positive. Give some encouragement to our friends at home, some encouragement to our allies abroad, that the debt still to be done, and let our enemy know that we're good. But in any event, we got the power. As I once told you, I didn't give a damn to the Senate. If it didn't restrict me, voted 80-2. By God, as long as I had the power, we were going to use it to see that the United States doesn't lose. I'm prepared to do it. And if it means we have a confrontation with the Russians, that's too bad. We're going to do it. Now, that's entirely the reason that this presents it differently than you have. I think you come up with the right solution of canceling the summit and seeing what the Russian net bombing and all that sort of thing, if we were playing it the old way. But I just decided that, I'm rather interested that Connolly came to this conclusion independently, as I read it for our part. One thing that can't happen is losing this war. It cannot happen. Understand, I don't mean by that the South Vietnamese may not lose, but I mean we are going to cream those bastards, and we're going to cream them good. I couldn't agree more with Connolly's proposition. I don't give a damn about the stability. I don't want to try to get the stability, but if they happen, they happen. We're going to hit the target. We're going to hit the targets. Screw the railroad yards. They're pretty good. The railroad yards, the docks, if there's ships in there with munitions on them, knock the sons of bitches, put them right down the funnels. And if the Russians still a sailor on, let them go. But the other thing is, if you get the military installations around, it spills off and knocks off civilians, that's too goddamn bad. That's the way it's going to be. We're playing for it anyway. We're going to do it. Well, that's the way it is. That's the way I feel about it. I feel very strongly about it, and I hope we have not argued out of it at this point.
Let me give you the conclusion for the time to come. In terms of the objective I was saying to you, I've also come to the conclusion that we must now break their back.
If we can.
If we can. They are.
In the north.
That's right, in the north. They are obviously out to destroy you. Destroying you has a profound significance for the whole orientation of this country.
Definitely.
In terms of the alternatives, and it has a profound significance if those sons of bitches can break the back of two presidents. They undermine the whole structure of authority in this country.
Right, and let's not forget, you I know, it's fashionable in your circles not to agree with the dominoes. They're ask the dominoes, by God, if we lose in Vietnam, Thailand, the little Indonesians, frankly, let's face it, the Israelis, some of the others, are going to be petrified that we are not going to let it happen.
And I do not exclude anymore that there is collusion between the Soviets, because the thing that the Soviets want most is to first to get rid of you, and second to kill me. We have been the two big obstacles to them. We felt we have not.
Also, their government, also the China.
The China thing, the Romania thing.
Romania thing.
China, and you get Vietnam off your back, and there's no telling what you're going to do when they can no longer operate. Now, they may not have saw it, but either the Soviets were unable or they were unwilling. Now, what the North Vietnamese have obviously decided to do, they've already had a statement all weekend for our lockdown. They are trying to maneuver us.
How did he handle it?
Well, no, he had no choice. He asked 10 questions, one softer than the other. No, they won't discuss this. They just read their public statement.
And what did he say?
He said, I'm willing to come back if either you are prepared to discuss any of our 10 questions.
Or did he get in the question about a bug out for his prisoners?
Yes.
Good. I think so. I just want to
read the record. We sent it to him anyway.
Good.
strategy that they came back, their strategy is, this is obvious, their strategy is to deprive the American people of any hope. We've gone through these phases before. We've gone through these phases twice before. That's when they're particularly brutal in these negotiations.
Sure.
So that no one can say there's any progress.
Whenever they're the weakest. What I mean is, they want to deprive the American people of any hope of negotiation.
Exactly.
Sure. Sure.
Now, all right. That also has a, is an attempt to prove. You see, actually, going back to the 1900s was a rather good move for us, and they have realized that. So now they put us into one of two positions. Either we stay in the 1900s in...
Baiting around, sucking around.
And that's a sign of weakness. In this case, they gradually escalate their demands at the plenaries, and in 2 weeks, they'd be demanding a bombing halt at the plenaries, and all of that would be...
They didn't do that today.
Yeah, but not as a condition, but in 2 weeks, it would be a condition.
Correct.
Or they make us walk out, and then they start attacking you as the obstacle to peace.
How can they possibly think, though, Henry, that I'm not going to bomb?
Now, let me, my judgment is they believe you're going to bomb, and therefore
they're ready for it.
I would suggest consideration of the following. If we're going to go for broke,
right,
we have no sense playing around. Why should we not do the blockade first? Why should you not go on television and say, now, here is what I have done. I've had Kissinger in Moscow, he offered the bomb. I've had him in Paris, and we offered the bomb. I've had Porter offer the bomb. There's only one thing left of us to do, and that is to surrender. That we will not do. Now these outlaws who have their whole army outside their country, I am cutting them off from military supply. I think that, just for your consideration, Mr. President,
sure.
I can see the bombing argument to the problem with bombing is they must have all their goddamn peace and troops all geared up all over the world. And they must have some understanding with the Russians. I just don't believe that they would act this direction.
So, in other words, you understand that the likelihood of the Russians cutting the summit is enormously increased by a blockade.
Well, Mr. President, even that you can argue in two ways. You can say that the Russians might accept the blockade because they don't have to challenge it. But I agree, the likelihood of the summit being called off.
You see, so is it worth it? Understand, I prepared the blockade.
No,
because I think what's going to happen if we bomb is the Russians will call off and then we blockade.
You see, you have only two choices with the bombing anyway. You either give them a two-day bomb strike, which they maintain, or you keep it up, in which case the Russians would just stop, cancel the summit anyway. The reason why I was leery about the two-day strike was because we are beyond the point where talks are doing us any good.
Right.
So what I would do, what I'm now at least putting to you for your consideration, is to do a blockade. That is at least something totally different.
Right.
And it doesn't get, and it isn't, it doesn't, then you still have to bomb.
Yeah,
you wouldn't be running up against Abrams and Laird right away, which is a minor problem. You wouldn't run up against this massive emotional feeling of the bombing. Then when the blockade was established.
When the blockade?
I think we got
that. That's
all right. Then when the blockade is established, then I'd start a massive attack on the rail lines to China.
Yeah.
And then I'd systematically cut off the oil supplies. We need the bombing in order to make the blockade effective. Otherwise,
they don't know
how to do it.
I don't know, because they've got enough there to run the wars for another year.
But the major thing is now, the only hope we've got is to get across to them that, by God, they have gone too far.
Correct.
Anything less than that is going to get you to this tit-for-tat situation.
Correct.
Which you cannot survive.
Correct. Correct. I agree. On this one, I think I want a very brief speech, though, 5 minutes.
So you could you can do it the other way. You can have a massive two-day strike on the north.
No.
The trouble with, or a three-day strike on the north, the point
is, you've got Abrams, Yellen.
The point
Huey
is,
might fall,
that if you lose Huey during that period,
sure.
You see, that way they can keep the planes in the south for a bit,
which they may need.
You can do smaller strikes. You could just send 20 B-52s over the rail yard.
You don't even need B-52s. Price can't the F-4s do the rail yards.
Well, you could then just, what we would then do is surgery around Hanoi, Haiphong.
Correct.
Once they're blockaded, we just pick off POL,
right,
power plants, and above all, cut these rail yards.
Now you understand, we blockade, then the Russians
will probably cancel the summit.
Cancel the summit.
But if you bomb more than 2 days, they'll also be
able to. But if the Russians cancel the summit, then we just... You see, the point is, if they cancel the summit, I'm speaking now of the public relations. If I go on the television to announce the blockade, I can't go on the television again after they cancel the summit. I can't do it, you know what I mean?
Why does he have to announce the blockade? Why not just do it? He didn't announce the bomb.
No blockade, yes. That's an exact announcement. And you have to warn the Russians.
Okay, so you warn everybody, but why does he have to go on the U.S. television?
Maybe.
Why do the people here need to vote for what you're doing?
I think the action is so strong. You might, let's think of it. How about warning the Russians a minute? Just make a 1 minute statement. I ordered a blockade. No. No, no. It has to be explained, Bob. This is an arms. This act.
I think you can explain so much in the blockade.
That makes the case for it.
I think you'll have answered the other question.
That you'll have answered the other question.
What's that?
I think you can explain in the blockade what you're doing in such a way that if the Russians on top of that cancel the summit, you don't need a hell of a lot of additional explanation.
You say I informed all governments that we're shipping to North Vietnam. This is not an act against them, it's an act against our enemy.
And I would say these people are putting 60,000 Americans into jeopardy. You have done everything. I was sent with the following office. Porter was sent with the following office. I saw Lee Dato. What has been their answer? Of course you dropped the May 2nd thing. What has been their answer? The day we informed them of the plenary, of our return to the plenaries, they attacked Contour. The day of the plenary, they attacked Dong Ha. The day before the private talks, they attacked Long Tree. And at the private talks, they reject this and this.
And they are there to destroy not only the South Vietnamese, but to endanger the lives of 70,000 Americans, 69,000 Americans, 60,000.
And therefore, the American people have endured too much.
Right.
This blockade will stay on until there's a ceasefire and prisoners are returned. And when that happens, you will withdraw American forces.
All American forces within what?
4 months, 3 months, I don't know.
Let's just say, when there's a ceasefire, that, what is that, does that chill, chew too much? The hell with it.
That won't happen.
If you got a ceasefire, you might problem.
That's good, you know, I see your problem, but by that time, for me, we'll have forever. Will have ruined because from then on we go for broke.
Right.
I think from that time on,
right.
Systematically destroy the North.
I intend to do that. Well, that's what I want to do. Henry, if we could just get, if you've got somebody that we could put on this speech.
And I do that in full blood.
Our Irish in the North is with a hell of a lot more than you than our keeping 50,000 troops
in the track. Well, the withdrawal of our troops he can handle. But the ceasefire, if a lot has been lost.
Yeah, but we have to say that only a ceasefire.
Or do we?
Only bomb for purposes of POW.
So it will end the blockade as soon as our POWs are returned, after which we'll withdraw in 3 months.
Withdraw in 3 months.
Yeah, but then we'd say
then we're doing the whole war for POW. No. I think the ceasefire has to be thrown in. And a ceasefire throughout Southeast Asia.
Throughout Indochina, wherever these marauding armies are,
right,
and now going back to their territory.
Right. And then incidentally, so that it pulls the rod on the senators who say that we should withdraw Americans in 4 months. Let's make it 3 months. Beat them by a month. No, it's good. It's clever. I mean, very clever.
I think, Mr. President, if you do this, the only thing that matters is that you're going for broke.
Well, look,
but 3 months
ago, have you ever doubted that I could go, that I've been going for broke? I've never hesitated.
I have never doubted.
I've never hesitated any time. We have done these things because of your theory and mine, I must say, that we had to appear to be, that we had to do what the public would accept. You know, all those goddamn withdrawal statements and all the half-assed peace things.
That's only something that we could discuss that cabinet we've had and these commanders. It's a miracle that we're still in business.
Oh, I think we've got to go on the blockade sooner than. How about getting the speech ready for tomorrow night?
I would go Monday night. We can wait 2 days.
Yeah, we're going to lose 2 days before then? Pretty sure.
If we're going to lose 2 days before then, it's better to lose it before the
blockade. Well, then we lose it. We lose it.
It's better to lose it before the blockade is announced. They won't be ready for an attack for 3 or 4, in my judgment, for 10 days.
All right, this is the game. I decided it.
That's been my...
Now, the risk, the only advantage of the other is the bombing. The bombing isn't going to get the Russians' attention. We've done that before.
I think they have counting on you.
They discounted.
I think,
Bob, that...
The Russians may...
Doesn't Connolly believe, Bob, that even if the Russians cancel, if we win the war, we're still in business?
Yeah.
See my point? I'm not quite clear. I know he believes, as I do, and as Henry believes, that it's very useful to have this on clearly a part of Vietnam.
Yes, sir.
Look at this world up here.
Look
at it. Here are those little cocksuckers right in there. Here they are. Here's the world. Here's China. The United States. Here is Western Europe. That tiny little place that's caused so much devastation. Here's the Soviet Union. Here's the Mideast. Here's the silly Africans. And not quite so silly Latin America.
That's good.
And here we are, right there, letting them tear down the United States. Now, goddamn it, we're not going to do it. We're going to cream them. Now, that's what we're going to do. This isn't done in anger or anything. This whole business, you know, that I'm petulant, the rest is bullshit. I should have done this long ago. I just didn't follow my instincts.
Should have done
for
it
once, I'm going to follow my instincts.
After November 3rd, we should have done it and taken all the diaphragm, motor, yes, and water.
We've done a lot of good things.
Oh, survived a lot. We've saved this country, but what?
Well, you play a lot of ground work for them, too.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, the kind of trip helps here.
You've got all kinds of ground work that you didn't have November 3rd.
That's right. We withdrawn Americans. We put out peace offers. We didn't have that then.
And the secret.
We've had our secret negotiations. And he went to China. Now, a lot of people have seen it. No, Henry, we're in a very strong position. The man of peace finally said, by God, did you give Henry that line that I told you yesterday?
Yeah.
It's a pretty good line, don't you think? Well, that would be if we canceled the summit, though. No, that's the GOP line tomorrow. That was to say that I was going to Moscow on a journey for peace, but it would not be a journey for peace.
Yes, but I see, the thing that worries me about bombing is, first of all, that's what all the sets all the nerves on edge, but that we can live with.
Why is Haig so much against the blockade?
No, he doesn't agree with the blockade. Man. No, I've talked to him.
James, oh, provided he bombed.
No.
You understand, now let me tell you what the enemy's going to do. They may just decide to try to wait us out through the election. And if they do, that's too goddamn bad. And then I'll be in office after the election for 3 months too, and then I will go wild.
I shall watch before the president.
Oh, no. I will have bombed them. I will have blockaded. And then if the election comes, you don't know what I might do. And you know exactly what I'm thinking of.
They
I am totally capable of it.
They may wait you out through the election. That's one reason why I've been against the blockade.
I know, because you said it would not be decisive.
It might not be decisive, but they have 6 months. I don't know whether they have 6 months of oil supplies in there.
I've got a week.
You're not going to bomb them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, within 3 or 4
Henry doesn't have any more confidence in our Air Force than I have to get the oil supplies. That's possible.
Well, no, we can get them if we can work on them long enough, and they don't get any new ones in there. And then we would do a surgical operation. The major thing would be we'd bomb the railroads into China.
Correct.
And probably the E-52s, the roads into China. And then we would go systematically, we'd bomb their POLs, and we would just, but we could then still keep our air force concentrated on the battle area for another week or so, and then just use a carrier to knock off whatever we need knocked off. We wouldn't have to have these massive strikes in any one blow then, because...
No, I get it.
Because what we would be doing is just wearing them down.
Would you mind if I called Abrams over now?
Abrams?
I just got to talk to him alone sometime.
Oh, let's get him over here.
Goddamn it.
I just call him, because if you call him, we'll get to bed right away.
All right. Tell him if you want to something. And I'd like Hagen to sit down, too, if you have no objection. Do you mind?
Get me Admiral Mora, please, Mr. Kitchen.
You are Mr. Kitchen.
Speak to you.
That wasn't a bad one, you would have got here for all man over there.
You need to go out and read it.
It's a very good one. Covers an awful lot of ground. Few words, 7 minutes. Very, and it was very early. Lots of people crying.
Very good.
Yeah, they cut to submit.
Not yet tell her more that you are going to do it. Just tell me you're considering it very serious.
I'll send it later on.
Well, that you can discuss with him. I think in 2 or 3 days.
Or in 3 days.
Yeah, Monday night is really time enough. By the way, for the rest of the
world. He has to go on and announce it.
Yeah.
Bob, the difficulty with the blockade is an all international law.
You have to tell your people.
No, I don't want to sneak him in a blockade. I think I've got to explain why. That everything is broken.
Hold on a second. He's out of the office that is swearing in.
There's got one that's swearing in, secretary.
Well, there's a reaction. 3 o'clock. Had he called?
I leave word that he could call me urgently as soon as he gets out of that swearing in.
Have you come up with a plan that I should have done long ago? But probably we didn't have it set, but we're going to do it now. Let me say, I have said to people, you know, you've heard me say, we are not going to lose this war. We, the United States, the South Vietnamese, they lose it, but we are. And now, these bastards are going to pay for those, well, look, think of those poor POWs been there for 6 years.
And that's what I bring changes on. They refused to discuss POWs. They came, in good faith. You sent me to Moscow, you sent me to Paris, you gave Porter a list of questions.
They refused.
They refused the questions when they were informed that we were coming back to the plenary, they had half gone to the day before the plenary.
They have answered every offer for peace with a step up of the war.
That's right. And then they demand our unconditional surrender.
They demand our unconditional surrender.
And as long as I'm
and the imposition. And we demand, not that they, but that we impose a communist government on the people of South Vietnam against their will. Who could I get in the right?
I can tell you, when I sent this last night at the Metropolitan Club, just an answer to a question I got a standing away. I said, the president is saving the honor of this country.
Sure.
Some wise guy asked me a question about why we want victory. I said, we want honor.
It isn't a bad word, victory. Somebody else can use it. I wish I could have.
That would be the most unsure to tell the correct word.
If I said victory?
No. Don't do that.
Well, of course it's going to be. I have to say.
But blockading is not nearly as violent as bombing.
Yeah,
draws the sword in the Russians.
That's if you care about what breaks loose here, that's a pretty good argument for the blockade versus bombing, isn't it?
Right.
More humane.
Of course, I'd stop bombing by the weekend.
Oh, after imposing blockade? Oh, don't worry. Whenever the military, I'm going to ask him, I want a plan, but if the military situation can't spend it, it's required, we'll do it. Now, It's a .22.
But we can just...
We got that one cruiser. Now that son of a bitch can get out there and start leveling everything soon, right away. I mean, right after this blockade thing. I put it up there too, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't level. There's no point if you're blockading high farm. There's no point in leveling it too.
Shore batteries?
Oh, shore batteries.
The docks.
But what I would think with the docks, what we should do, Mr. President, if we do this, we ought to be pro-flight. We ought to say any ship can leave. And I would bet that 9/10 of the ships are going to leave after a while.
How much time is going to give
them? Doesn't make any difference, because we're in no hurry when there is a blockade. Then when
the blockade wouldn't stop.
No. And then when the ships are out, then I'd level the docks.
And why don't you just give 4 days to leave?
No, we don't need to do it. He's right. You see,
no,
a blockade doesn't stop ships from going out, it only stops them going in. Oh.
See, no ship is going in, so we can. And then after 2 or 3 days, just long enough to get the blockade established, and then...
And so the blockade will be with money, of course. Will it not?
You don't have to have money. You can do one of the things you can mine.
I hate that, so...
You just got one little channel, don't you?
But the point is...
The mining runs the problem of blowing up ships.
Well, no, that isn't the problem.
The problem is... the ship's leaving, I mean.
That they'll start lightering operations. And, so you would... the best is, of course, a combination of both.
That's what I want. That's what he says.
If you have mining, that gets the ships out of there, because then if they don't get out, if you say you're going to mine the harbor...
You see, Henry, this appeals to me so much more than breaking off the summit and then doing it. For the reason that, goddammit, we're just not using rhetoric this time.
Now, my worry about the 2-day bombing strike was that whether you... that the first strike you did on Hanoi and Haiphong was to get their attention. You've given them 3 weeks to get their attention. They haven't delivered. If now we do a 2-day strike, and then they say, all right, you got our attention again, sucker us through a summit, then we're in June, and we're still in an inconclusive situation.
Oh, that's about 2 weeks. Henry.
No.
Henry, I think you should cancel your luncheon for the rain.
If we don't have an answer, we should cancel it.
Did you get an answer?
What do you want the answer?
What are you going to talk about?
Well, there's a lot to be said for just talking summit and...
Suck him along.
To suck him along and not...
Like they suck us along.
Well, they can't suck us along anymore because we...
Well, they haven't passed them.
Yeah, they've got a... This trip to Moscow puts us in a good position for doing this. I mean, we've done everything to avoid... To get a peace...
Well, you realize that if they cancel the summit, I just don't think I can go on television again and say now that they've canceled the summit, you got it.
Well, that's why you've got to put everything into that speech, but there's a lot to be said if you're just the war leader. My God.
Cancel the summit and then just have a statement put out. The Soviet Union has canceled the summit. We're ready to go back whenever they are. Don't go before the people again on that, Bob.
Probably right.
Do you mind if we get Conway over to talk about this strategy? Okay. Tell him on an urgent basis. We'll get you out.
Secretary Conway, please, for home.
Could you...
I wonder whether we shouldn't keep Mordor away until tomorrow morning.
All right, fine. Incidentally, how do you go to New York? Well, then you're all right. If you can go at 5:30, can't you? Tell the people you'll be that late.
At 5:30 ought to be delayed and stuff like that.
Well, oh, Christ, we got plenty of time. I just didn't want it to be 4:30.
No, no,
it's only 40 minutes to talk. Funny thing. You know, I tell you, I get ideas that you need because I don't sleep much these days. I never do anything. I sleep a lot. By God, I woke up in the night. Here. I bet you have a copy of this for your book. Tell them that. I told them to use that term. Listen, this fucking Abrams at least has read enough military history to know what Verdun is about. He knows it. The German and the French, the Frenchman, Pétain and Falcon and Amélie. The German was right and the Frenchman was right. And the Germans lost the war because he could believe that. But he was a great general, I thought.
You don't have it? No, he had the... He had the right theory.
Also, I'm an army surgeon. I'm talking to him. I really do what you want. And you can talk to Rabin and Collins.
There's no question. They'll take out arms any time they want to.
Okay. The president wanted if he could come over to the Congress. That is in the DOD office. Okay.
Well, I think that,
well, it's slow. It's my intuition. I wrote it down. John came to it in a different way. He may disagree with this project. I don't think we ought to fiddle around and try to save some of the bombing person in one meeting.
Because you may save the summit. I mean, supposing you bomb for 2 days and then they tell you, stop to discuss it with you in Moscow. Then we've got another 3 weeks.
Of what?
Waiting. I mean, supposing after you bomb Hanoi, I bomb for 2 days. They get in touch with you and tell you,
incidentally, you think we could relieve Blair, put Cobb in the Secretary of Defense?
You're strong. First of all, Rush told me that everyone in the Pentagon thinks that Leah talks to you 4 times a day on the telephone, and that he is in constant touch and that he's transmitting your orders directly. So, Moore thinks that Leah talks to Abrams on the telephone, so it's quite
would
a lot.
Would it be too much to ask his government, because his government would be in a great deal of performance, to let Rush see him?
Can you get me the Deputy Secretary of Defense for Mr. Kittenson? Rush. Yes.
And I would like Hagan, if you don't mind. Henry, there's a loyal bond. Loyal to you, loyal to this country. I wish to Christ we could really be able to pay. That's what I'm thinking.
That's what we talked about in the way.
I mean it.
That's exactly what we were discussing.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that. It would drive me out of my mind to have to do it without Hagan.
What about relieving him at Volk?
I don't know whether Volk is coming out.
Hey, do what we say. I'm going to have a direct chain of command with Moore. I am not going to have this fucking around through Larry anymore. Not Henry.
And that's the thing you do rather than relieving Larry from his post is to relieve Larry from his responsibility for Vietnam.
Now, wait a minute. Under the law, Larry misinterprets the law. And I think, isn't that, am I wrong, Henry? Don't I have a right to talk to the Joint Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, or don't I?
Chairman is the military advisor to the President by law. And you're the commander-in-chief.
As the commander-in-chief, you have complete authority to deal directly with the commander-in-chief.
Bombing, Henry's right. Don't do the expected.
The whole goddamn machine.
Churchill's the thing I gave to Henry one night. Remember Churchill, I told you it was true. Is the book of World War I. And then in World War II, we repeat it, strangely enough, it's almost
Hello, brother.
How are you, sir?
How are you?
I thought you knew that you
Has he ever done any? I've done three.
I didn't like those.
I've done three. I did Eisenhower's, which I think is one of my better efforts. I did Thurston's, which is, but I,
you did that.
This is very hard. The point is that, I think the main thing about it, if I may say so, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I think John's saying 7 minutes was not bad. I said quite a bit. Sure. Or you, I don't know.
No, I agree.
What was the, why did you do that?
Well, I think because you put it in the context of what the man, what the man's life meant, what it stood for, was that he did render service beyond what we think of the norm, what he did, John, his dedication to loyalty, his patriotism.
I'd like the peace officer.
The peace officer thing was great.
Yeah. And also the idea that the interesting little thought that the great tragedy, one of the great tragedies of life, is the true greatness of men is seldom recognized until after their death, that he was an exception to the rule, that he was a living legend in his lifetime, which was
monster. Those corrupt heroes, what he was hero.
You know who made that damn thing? You gotta give credit to
old Herbert.
Herbert Hoover was the guy that called in this little fellow, J. Edgar, heavier later, and set it up. Gave him the bomb. That's a Herbert Hoover. And I thought it was a good touch, John, too, which I did without asking Johnson, but I thought he did fine. Say President Johnson, President Eisenhower. Don't you think that was a nice
thing? I thought it was very good. I wondered if you had me talk to him.
The fact of the matter was, then tell you what Johnson told me. You know, he was quite emotional toward the last. And he got tears in his eyes. He said, I don't want to tell you. And I said, I couldn't have been president. I couldn't have done my job. Roosevelt said, he just poo-pooed the report when he came in. Edgar had to forget it. forget. At that time, Truman issued an order that the FBI could not cooperate with Canadian American activities. We had to get a Catholic over there, some kind of Catholic guy that pleaded stuff to us, a priest by the name of John Cronin. Father Cronin.
Father Cronin.
Father Cronin pleaded to the committee and be working on it. Truman found out about it. Truman issued an order to cut him off. I called him, it was not very soon. And I called Lou, and I did ask how I was with Lou. I said, you can tap on my wire. I know this wire is tapped. I said, I want you to know some pictures are leaking in there. I said, the hot cream here or the FBI. And I got huge respect. Quit tapping me too. Sometimes I play pretty hard, Jason. You think I'm soft, but I'm real hard.
Yeah.
You always say stuff, yeah. You know,
I think you're easy. Could you get him over?
Oh, he wants to be here.
Sit down.
Hey, come on over here, please. You okay?
Incidentally, John Hoover died at the right time.
Sure.
He was too old, but he was beginning to make mistakes. He was beginning to answer his critics. They were ready to tear him to pieces. He had a lot of them, frankly. You know.
Let's face it.
Your friend, Sid Richardson, and others helped him a great deal this way. And they should have. And Hoover left probably a pretty good state. I hope to Christ he did. As you know, some of my most pleasant times, I don't remember ever seeing one, but out there at El Charro, I sat there with Sid Richardson on at least a half a dozen occasions at Lloyd with Sid Richardson and Clint Burns and Edgar Hoover. You know, those three men would sit around the pool. Not one of them swim. Hoover was afraid of walking. I'd go ahead and take the sun. Couldn't swim. Petrified to swim. Oh, yes. There's only one thing. You think of this daredevil like Edgar Hoover, and he would not go near the water. Never. Sit up. But they sit down. They did the same thing when they get up, eat breakfast together, lunch together, at night they have their drinks. So, of course, they go to the race together out at Delmont, and so forth. I despise races. I despise the diet because I just never learned to bet. But nevertheless, I never went with him for a reason, but I sit there. Oh, maybe he can't have gone and his ball. But to hear them talk, that's what old your friend Sid and the nurse. I never forget, I told John this one thing. One morning we were sitting around Hoover, Sid Richardson and I, and they had telephone.
Forever. And, uh, he called Clint up and said, "I've got to have some help, and I've got to have $50, and they're back for you," said, "Yeah." And Clint signed off, and told me, so he could listen to five.
This made me, he goes back side, and I'm sure, but every deal they ever made, you know, so forth.
Or, but in this case, he says, "I'll take five," says, "to put you into five," so they said, "Okay," and I said, "I gotta come and talk."
Oh, they're high rollers, you know, they broke three or four times, both of them. And the energy short of that cigarette, and I'm not working, you enjoy it, but it's a more serious thing. But they left on all of the brothers.
You don't think $5 million is serious?
Well, they grew up in this little town of Athens, Texas.
Athens?
Athens.
What part of Texas is that?
Just east of Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Over, it's a sandy land.
Doesn't matter if you want to move it.
No.
That's Georgia, straight.
Georgia,
no, there. My husband has a university just near Texas, near Dallas, where I'm from.
Yeah, that's Commerce. He's Texas State University, probably. Anyway, Athens is this little town down there, peanut, watermelon country, sandy land, peach country. Well, cigarettes had nothing, daddy had nothing. Mark's daddy was part of, was in the bank. Underwood's daddy was in the bank. So anyway, Sid Richard left home, was about 19 years old, 18. Went to Wichita Falls, Ranger, Berkman, had discipline of early oil fields, just opened up. This woman who was there the other night, her husband asked a question about trade. Andy, Burnett, 24, Andy. Her father was Burke Burnett, from the town of Burke Burnett, that's his name. And, anyway, Sid went into that country, a very young man, made about $1 million, was 20 years old, trading broken oil. First thing he did, bought a big Cadillac automobile. Went to Dallas, bought a Cadillac automobile, long before he was went back to Athens one Saturday, everybody was in the street, all over the square, courthouse square, Saturday afternoon, fishing, and going, so forth. So he pulls into town. And drive a big, long Cadillac, a ton of machinery, brand new car out of Dallas. Everybody down there, he just drove around town very slow, just made it square twice and drove back out of town. Never stopped, never said a word. Clint said, "I'm going to finish it over the barbershop." He said, "If that son of a bitch can do it, so can I." And the next week, he left town and went to the oil fields. Quit the bank, all of them. Wound up, all of them, made immense fortune. Arch Underwood died all week. He was the last of that crowd. And Clint, Sean, Kid, and all of them. And her mother, that went quite a close, probably when he still in.
I know him. He used to be out there.
Right, probably when
he used to come out. When? I remember them all.
But that was not a very good crowd.
They were good men, too. They were ruthless men, though.
Good
men.
There's a lot of interesting stories to tell. We'll get into subjects we have. If you have your problems on your mind, I'll tell you about them. I'll talk about Patty Wire. It's no time waiting to get all you have to switch for up there. And he was a young buck, he was strong. And he's been to the police force. Well, of course, it's steel inflation, which is rough, brawling, crowd. You know, steel geological those that try to get inflation out of landowners, trying to find out what each one was buying, what each one had to pay, and it was fast, moving fast, charging game. And Sid was always smart as hell. He went in and had three offers.
Was he the smarter of the two?
No.
Well, he was the richer of the two, was he not?
Probably the richer of the two, but he was more stable, less
speculative,
less imaginative, really, than Clint. Clint put together an incredible enterprise. Nobody really knows anything about it. One time, he was operating over 200 different corporations. And all of them were big, size, all the way from Asian Air Rifle to Martha Washington, to Henry Holt Publishing Company, to Indianapolis Waterworks, and all over the world. Great, just incredible. But anyway, his plea offer, and said it was good, good, very young, well, good, good, he gave information, then who was calling back to the home office, he had a cell phone operator, switchboard operator, listening in on the call. And he's least local, called back to the home office, report him what they thought, how much they paid for it. And the third was the very thing old back there, and he said, I just had some conscience, I just couldn't do that, so they went to Dallas and bought a comfortable big swivel chair.
You mean he didn't have to go the other way?
No, he just had to go the other way.
He didn't chew up that chair. He had some scruples.
He said, I've got some limitations. That's good. But there was this kind of, you know, this kind of that.
Let's see if the secretary would like a cup of coffee.
I'd love
to. Yeah. Coca-Cola ice cream.
No, ice cream, sir. We don't have any more.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay, very good.
Well, very good, man. Right?
It's a damn good thing that Hoover's dead now. He's got all that file on you. He's going to send you back to Cuba.
Oh, no, sir. I just knew he was back.
John, Yeah. had a week of sessions, and they, of course, everything.
Everything
that could be
everything.
Thought of.
John, I should say this. Before we did Camp Oakley, this was my own grand plan. I had ordered, and we carried out a series of strikes called the Minden Strikes. Nobody knows it. On Camp Oakley, on the sanctuary, with B-52s. They were called the Minden Strikes because they were called breakfast strikes. And I said, all right, for mine. So I said, all right, that's what those unimaginative bastards out there called them. I said, Henry, the hell with that. A menu just isn't breakfast. Let's have lunch and dinner, too. So we took breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we bombed the hell out of those sanctuaries. Nobody ever knew it, and they didn't say a goddamn word.
Actually, if that's left,
and that... And that, incidentally, was over the final objection to Rocky's murder.
It led to the collapse of Cambodia because it pushed the North Vietnamese deeper into Cambodia. And as a result...
And that triggered Cambodia.
That triggered the Cambodia.
Cambodia.
But we then went, and then the president after about 5 days of sessions sent out an order that we do this Cambodia thing. Rogers and Laird came steaming over here. Rogers wanted the order withdrawn on the ground that he was testifying that afternoon before Congress, and he wanted to be able to say that no orders had been issued, and this is the origin of the myth that he was in ignorance of the Cambodia invasion. So the president held up the order for 24 hours in order to prevent Rogers to have clean spirits before the congressional committee. Laird said that Bunker and Abrams were against the Cambodian invasion. That in any event, there'd be 1,000 casualties a week.
Right.
So the president asked me to back channel Abrams and Bunker and say he wanted their assessment. Turned out that their casualty estimates were about 10, and that they were both strong before the incursion. That evening, Laird sent over
No misunderstanding about this, though. Laird told you Abrams and Bunker.
You lied.
I was hearing that
was clear.
You lied. He said, you understand, Mr. President, 1,000 casualties. Do you understand Abrams is opposed?
He told us that right here, 1,000 casualties a week. Remember, we had to sign up. He wanted to Paris speak alone with the Cambodia, with the South Vietnamese on the fifth week thing. And what was the other area where he sent in our division there now?
Fishhook
area. He said, if you go in there, there'll be 1,000 casualties a week. Okay, go ahead.
So, the president ordered me to back channel Bunker and Abrams and find out what they really thought. They both were in favor of it, and they both said casualties would be around 150.
Which proved you right.
Which proved to be a little
low.
Well, it varied. It started lower, it went a little higher, but it stayed in the range of 100 to 200. Laird that evening sent over a memorandum recommending against both Paris Peak and Fishhook by recommending operations by the South Vietnamese way in the south in the Delta area.
Half-assed,
but this was going to be flooded 2 weeks later anyway because of the monsoon.
We have that on the record. And also, I hope you take that cut down and call it to me. You made a record of all these things.
Yeah,
so okay. Go ahead.
The next morning, the president called in Rogers and Blair. Together with Mitchell, and in my absence, and talking in the town, he was going to say, he said, I think they're going into the medical news, I think, for this possibility. And that's how that decision was made. Well, I already talked to the president about that decision. I was having Camp David to go over to this end. And this may seem ridiculous now, but to us, given all the opposition we were getting, it seemed like a really momentous decision to go into Camp Oakley. American forces. The president was saying to me, look, we're going to take so much heat for this, why don't we go home and blockade Cambodia, Haiphong 2. I thought this was more than the traffic would bear. I was wrong.
But I agree with you.
I said I didn't think the traffic would bear that. But what we did decide to do is add airstrikes into North Vietnam to take out their supplies that might be going in. Quite effective. So that more or less is the history of that particular decision, which gained us nevertheless 2 years.
Yeah.
Without that, we would have been run out of South Vietnam 2 years ago.
Right.
And we'd be
also cut our casualties in half.
Cut our...
Cambodian operation cut our casualties from 200 a week to 100 a week. Then came Laos. Now, what happened in Laos was that we ordered that. On this one, incidentally, Laird did not oppose me.
Yes.
Abrams was for it.
Abrams was for it. Laird was opposed to it.
Rogers was opposed to it.
Rogers was opposed.
But anyway, on that one, the problem there was that when it went in, and here Abrams dropped the ball. Abrams got sick, went over to Saigon, Bangkok with his wife, and the rest. And instead of pouring in the air and the reserves, we could have won a hell of a victory as it was. We cut our casualties in half again. From 100 to 50 a week. Because we chewed up 20,000 North Vietnamese, and they were unable to invade that year. That was 71.
The problem there was, in Laos, that Abrams had been so thrilled by Laird that the Vietnamese had to do it that he didn't permit any American advisors to cross into Laos, that he kept our facilities sealed, that we didn't reinforce, he didn't set up a separate command for Laos, he ran it out of his normal headquarters so that Laos had to compete with the rest of South Vietnam for 5 years. So we smelled the rat after 5 days. And we
Hague smelled it.
All of us smelled it. And we wanted to send Hague out there.
And Blair hit the ceiling.
Hit the ceiling. So we had to get it in Laos last year that we're now making. We wouldn't have this huge problem. We would have gone
anyway, all right. Mistake. Now, other mistake.
Long suffering.
No war. We now come to the situation today. We can consider long suffering. The plan I'm going to discuss with you this morning is one. Canceling the summit. I agree with you that our canceling the summit is a mistake. I had sort of gone along with the idea that canceling the summit on our part was wrong. Felt that they had been, that we should cancel because if they dealt that it would be clear that we were in the wrong, that we brought it about. On the other hand, I was thinking back to the U2, and let the record show that when Eisenhower, when the Russians did cancel the Eisenhower's meeting with them on the U2, he went up 5 points in the popularity poll. So, thank you. Now we come to the point of the summit. The canceling of the summit, by us, I agree with you, is the wrong thing to do. Because it's a signal. Gets to make a nice little speech. But then following the bombing, I think what we have to do is to recognize one hope, unassailable fact, that under no circumstances can I go to the summit except from position strength. And clearly apart from going to the summit from position strength, under no circumstances, even if it costs the election, and it probably will, under no circumstances, can I, with all of the things I believe in, fail to use the total power of this office, with the exception of nuclear weapons. I cannot do it. It's necessary. The power of this office to see that the United States does not lose. I'm putting it quite bluntly. Now, I'd be quite precise. South Vietnam may lose, but the United States cannot lose. Which means that basically, I have made the decision that whatever happens in South Vietnam, we are going to cream North Vietnam. Now, to do that, there are two different plans. One is a bomb. The difficulty with bombing is that it's totally expected, because we did it before. Churchill, I was just, before I came in, I did finish this. I was in a great deal of reading after a few months. Reading Churchill, World War One, but it's much better, and I would recommend it. But Churchill makes the point over and over again that a commander must never do the expected. He can do it once, but he cannot do it twice. But everybody with a bomb thinks it's expected. They're ready for it. We'll suffer some losses and this and that, but it isn't going to have the effect that's needed. Now, in my view, there's only one way to finish North Vietnam. That we ought to do is to blockade and bomb. Blockade first, following the bomb. Now, the bombing is essential for the purpose of taking out the railways into China, the roads into China, and destroying the POL and other supplies. Al, you agree with that? You're the one who told me on that, right? You cannot have blockade without bombing, correct? All right. Now, let's look at the bombing thing. The difficulty with the bombing first rather than blockade, with blockading first rather than bombing first, is that the chances of the Russians canceling something become greater because of blockade, presumably. On the other hand, if you bomb first, and then they cancel, and then you blockade, it isn't really as effective a thing in terms of our ultimate objective. What we've got to do is to keep our eyes on goal one. Goal one is the summit. I think it's good. I think people think the summit is different from this. They want it, even though they'd like not to lose Vietnam. But we know that we can lose the summit and still not lose the country. But we cannot lose this war without losing the country. Now, I'm not thinking of myself, but I think of the country. So I determined that we cannot lose the war. Having started with that proposition, what do you have to do? For once, we've got to use the maximum power of this country against this shit-ass little country to win the war. We can't use the word win, but others can. But we're going to use it for the purpose. And what I would do is to blockade. We can set the blockade in motion. I'm going to ask Al about how long it takes, because I've asked him to check on this, and he should have the answer. I think it could be laid on 2 or 3 days to blockade. I would have to go on television and read in a very calm way the fact that we have made every offer of peace that was possible. We've offered exchange for, we offered to get out in exchange for prisoners. We've offered this. They said no, no, no. And they have answered every offer of peace. Kissinger's private trip, the plenary session, etc. Every plenary session was a step up of the war. And they hold still 400 Americans, some of them for over 5 years, in filthy pig pens as prisoners of war, in violation of all international law. Their, quote, their armies are invading 3 neighboring countries in violation of all understandings and the rest. They, and under these circumstances, the United States must take steps that are necessary to bring, force these international outlaws, and that's what the term I want to use. I'm not sure that we want to use the term quarantine. It intrigues me to say quarantine international outlaws. It's not bad. It has a good connotation that maybe most people have forgotten. World War One.
It's also Kennedy used with you.
It's not to be used. Because Kennedy didn't follow up on his blockade. Here's what we do. We blockade, and in the announcement, we say, blockade, or we'll be ready. The purpose is to continue to maintain the blockade until the North Vietnamese return all of our prisoners of war and a ceasefire in South Vietnam. Once they do that, we will withdraw all Americans within 3 months. thing about this kind of approach is that you have to consider it as well as working. I think that over a period of 4 to 5 months, that maintaining the blockade for that period of time will effectively destroy the enemy's ability to mount another offensive, which is really awful.
Did we bomb?
I said blockade bomb.
Yes.
Oh, hell yes. Now, there's another problem with bombing first. We do have a critical situation in South Vietnam at the present time. Abrams, over and over again, is capable of being subjected to all bombing from the north and the ground, and he needs the bombers. The maximum force around Hue, Hung Thu, and to a lesser extent, at Freeport, and more than the other Freeport. Consequently, if we blockade Hue Falls, those Blair and the others are going around, and we lost it by reading of our existence on some follow-up bombing. Blair had made the case to Henry a dozen times that he can't find any harder than the other Freeport. Nevertheless, the difficulty of bombing also is that it will not bring them to their knees. By a blockade, you see here, the blockade, you would announce that any ships that want to go out, of course, can go out first. The blockade is not for the purpose of keeping ships from going out and keeping coming in, so the Russian ships can get the hell out of there. Once they're out of there, they can demolish the docks. So that you, so on your bombing, you take out the POL, you take out the docks, you take out the railroads, you take out the power plants, you're not concerned. Naturally, you don't try to get civilian targets, but you can't be concerned if they slop over into the sun. Now, results. Russians can cancel the sun. Russians can get very tough in Berlin. I think they got caught there. But we used to worry about that. But they have a different situation now on that. Remember, Henry, that's one point that you made at the time in Cambodia that was very different than now. You remember, if we'd have done it in Cambodia, they might have had a Berlin crisis. But now, they've got a hell of a problem because they want to get along with the goddamn Germans.
If they have a Berlin crisis, they bring down Berlin.
That's right. So we're in a better position there. Now, they might fart around Cuba, but if they want to give us an excuse to go in and knock off Castro, that would be the best thing we can do. And incidentally, Al, get to that bright young Walters over there. Get some provocation in Cuba. We'll get some provocation in Cuba. We'll take that son of a bitch out, too. Now, you see, the point of this is that it is true, we're risking the sun more by blockade. But on the other hand, on balance, I think we have to blockade, have a plan which we know militarily will accomplish our goal, which is not losing this damn war.
Mr. President, I am not even sure. My Soviet expert thinks that a blockade risks the sun is less than bombing, because the Soviets don't have to challenge it. But probably it risks it. I disagree with my Soviet guide. But the trouble with the bombing, as I've thought about it, is that the North Vietnamese are practically asking us to bomb.
The trouble with the bombing first and then blockading second, because you're for bombing, if we blockade first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The trouble with the bombing first. Go ahead.
The trouble with the bombing first is that the North Vietnamese are practically asking us to bomb. There must be some collusion between them and the Soviets at this point, even if there wasn't any earlier. They must have the whole propaganda machinery revved up. But leaving that aside, you bombed for 2 days and then stopped. For 3 days and then stopped. Then the North Vietnamese. Then the Russians say, all right, we'll discuss it with you at the sun.
Yeah.
Then we're again, if they don't cancel it, then we're in the same box we were in to begin with.
They should have got our
you can't bomb again until after the summit. They launch another series of offensives. That's the box I was in Moscow. Or else they say nothing. and you keep bombing, then they'll cancel the summit because of the bombing, which is the most neuralgic point here.
Right.
On top of that.
It was the bombing, you recall, that brought Johnson down.
So I think that if you blockade first, I think the basic decision you have to make, which is also the one John mentioned to us, is are you going to win this war? Are you going to do whatever is necessary to do not to lose the war? Once you've made that decision, the rest is tactics, which works better. I think blockade gives you a chance to state your case. It gives the Soviets a minor opportunity to back off it if they want to, after all, they did back off in Cuba from challenging a blockade. And then you start bombing systematically, just running down their supplies. You don't have to do a horrendous strike because you can operate like a surgeon. We just put one aircraft carrier out there with no other job than to take out the POL first. If we mine the harbor and say, or arm the mines in such a way that they are set for 4 days from there, that forces the ships out of there, because if they are not, they're going to be bottled up in the harbor. Then we go after the docks. And so we can reduce Haiphong to a shell, and we can systematically destroy the war-making potential. The thing that killed Johnson was that they were pumping in stuff faster than he could destroy it, and that they were fighting a guerrilla war, so they didn't have to keep large amounts of supplies going south, and because Sihanoukville was open, so they didn't have to...
We've cut a lot of off.
With Sihanoukville closed, with all of this stuff having to come down the rails, the roads, and with Haiphong closed, and with their reserves being systematically destroyed, something has got to give. Now, that's the argument for the blockade. And I think if we go past, we've got to get the maximum shock effect and get it over with.
Now, that's one question. What are the Chinese?
Well, the blockade incidentally has the additional advantage that it forces Hanoi closer to the Chinese. And therefore, what will happen, the Chinese will scream. The Chinese may even open one of their southern ports as a replacement for Haiphong and permit stuff to come in at that port. That will take months, however, to create. But there's a good chance that they will...
You don't see the Chinese moving
or
Manhor?
No.
I don't know. So
besides, it would make a difference. They couldn't get enough of it down. But I don't think they'd move Manhor. They would open, in my judgment, one of their southern ports as a replacement for Haiphong. The Russians would make an appeal to them, and they'd get more in.
How much can the Russians do by air?
Very little.
Well, you can't air lift tanks.
Well, then we bomb the guy.
How about that?
We're the only one we can.
We take out the airfields anyway. Huh?
We can see the C-5A, that's the only aircraft.
But they don't have
it.
But even if they had it, we can keep that Hanoi airfield closed. They could get through rail. They reoriented their supplies on the tracks.
Oh, we did not know about that rail conflict.
But it'd be 3 to 4 months before they could get that organized. And I think we ought to probably can wear it down. Now, on the other hand, the Chinese will have to decide how much Russian intrusion they want to their country. Whether they really want to turn themselves into a Russian supply base. In any event, even if we go to bomb it, we're going to be forced to blockade if we want to.
Blockade is unexpected. The blockade is, as far as the American people are concerned, with the in the initial stages, accepted. It would wear off over a period of time, as if they wonder when the hell it's going to get over. But on the other hand, it's going to be goddamn hard for people to oppose a blockade which has as its purpose getting our POWs a ceasefire and getting Americans out in 3 months. Well, there's the case. Put your mind.
Now, I have talked to all the tactical moves, and I don't disagree with what he
rather prepared.
I understand you don't want to say what we want. I understand you don't want to say the reason, time or short time, or matter of a few months.
Let me say why I said 3 months. We have a Senate resolution that will be passed, the Mansfield resolution saying all Americans should get out in 4 months. Well, the hell with it.
I don't know if my objection is very good or not.
This will be 3 months after the ceasefire.
Yeah. But if you get the ceasefire, if you get your prisoners returned, then I think we'll get out in 9 days. I don't know if you want to get paid long, we might get out in 9 days.
I don't think it's out of the case to walk out anymore.
Well, that's beside the point at this point.
Well, the 3 months is no problem. It could be 6 months.
The point is, I think we, Mr. President, if you get a ceasefire, if you get your prisoners returned, then I think Frankie ought to get out and do this fashion. Get out in 2 weeks, you ought to get out.
Correct. Because South Carolina.
Or something else can happen.
That's right.
You ought to get out while you can get out.
That's right.
And if this South Vietnam goes, it goes. But because you can't stay there, it does the purpose. Prop you get up.
That's right.
No more. But you have to create an environment where you can get out with some honor and some dignity without sacrifice. It's not the only order of that damn little pitch-weak nation over there. I certainly have no problem with it. I don't think the Russians will cancel some. But if they do, I don't know what to do.
Well, look, the summit is important. But on the other hand, losing Vietnam is fatal.
So
that's where we are now. We can't have 50,000 Americans die for nothing. We can't have
the whole integrity of this nation. If we can't stand there and at least come out with a draw, which is about all we've looked for the last several years, what credibility are we going to have elsewhere in the world among nations under any circumstances?
There's no way to do it on the negotiating track at this point. No way.
But we have to be careful, though, not to give the terms which have the natural consequences of losing it. And so that we go through this tremendous exercise just for the result of losing it. We should think again about this package of a ceasefire. At the minimum, we have to say that internationally supervised ceasefire. So that we can negotiate it in terms.
Oh yeah, well that's all right. I just want that to sound good. Whatever you put in there is all right. I don't want to discourage you.
About the length of withdrawal.
Well, those things are all the rhetoric can be worked out. POW thing is what I would write on hard though, on the blockade, because I think John, that has hell of a symbolism.
Well, he have a reason to ask that.
Correct.
Every region under the Geneva Agreements, under the International Court, on any basis you want to talk about, you have a right to ask for the return of the force.
I think if we say after the internationally supervised ceasefire is in place, and then some months later we will withdraw from all our forces, I think that would make it right. Because for them to stop under these conditions would be such a long time. They've lost so much in the process. And by the time you can recognize the negotiations on the international ceasefire, if you define it that way, you can do it.
One premise that never seems to get done.
sure if there's nothing else we're doing, so we got to do this. What else you just give it out?
It's a little bit harder on North Vietnam.
Oh, but there's no question about that.
Well, there is, and you're talking about carrier-based surgical bombing efforts.
Oh, that is only as long as Abrams needs those planes.
Yeah, that's
to say, boy, as soon as those planes are available, we're going to use B-52s to cream those bastards. No, sir.
I'm assuming that. By surgical, I mean that if we can order a border to say, on any day that you can, throw the B-52s up there, designate one or two carriers to do nothing else but hit in that area. On top of it, any day you can say 50 B-52s, send them up there. The problem is, if we do it the other way, we must do two convulsive days of strikes with 400 F-4s and 50 B-52s, which will then not be on the battlefield. And when you're through with this, you're faced with the dilemma that if you haven't succeeded, then you've got to go back, order us to say, we've heard you, when you come to Moscow, we'll discuss this with you. Then you are stuck again for 3 years. That's what happened last month. Now, it was useful to go through that exercise because we can use it in our speech. We can say we went to Moscow, we offered them everything.
In the meantime, while you're doing all that, none of which will have any effect on the short-term military situation in South Vietnam.
It will have a tremendous effect on that.
Psychological, but that's all.
Yeah, but no, that's a major
problem. It's a major problem, but it's still...
I have the proposition in South Vietnam, you lost anyway. But I think that they can hold, and the Gallagher's, they ought to be able to hold 34 Corps. Now, I'll get your thinking on that.
No, I agree very much with success for that. And the one thing that Gallagher needs is to manage this fire. Because what could happen is they would accept it.
All right.
You get the prisoners back, and the blockade's lifted.
And then they take over South Vietnam.
3 months before November, South Vietnam's gone, and you have a pretty tough proposition for this. I think.
We wouldn't do it that way. Okay. I can put your language out any way you want, let's see, but I was only putting that
in. Well, if we say internationally supervised ceasefire, we can make enough to on resupply and other things.
Or your time to work on.
Blockade in place until we move on to the blockade at the start of the ceasefire, you can move at the end. I mean, at the end of the group, we can keep another grip on there. But,
talk about the psychological impact on the soldiers in South Vietnam. I do feel also that that works on the North Vietnamese in the first few years.
Sure.
On the North Vietnamese here, when they're taking the cream of the B-52s, when they hear that their country is taking a hell of a patience with the railroad drive, utilities out, the harbors out, and so forth, and there's a hell of a lot of their families that they kill, this has a little psychological effect on them and how determined they are. Now they all say, well, we'll fight like that. Well, a lot of them won't turn and run off, go home, too. They say, what are we doing here?
I'm not very happy about being down there already.
And on top of it, you know, if we've gone this far, we can even consider landing the Marines in Venezuela for a day or two and just say
that they're Marines.
But they don't have any Marines.
Now, could we do that? If we got landing craft that could land their Marines?
Well, they won't agree to that.
Well, landing our Marines in Ben.
But we may not need that much.
That I think getting American ground forces involved again in Vietnam is something the traffic will not bear.
Well, you can't do that because you said you want to.
That's right.
Now, at some point, you have to do what you say you're going to do.
Correct.
You're not going to use nuclear forces. You're not going to use U.S. troops.
But I said I'd do everything else.
That's right. But you said you'd do everything else.
It's too much, but anyway, if you do the blockade, that isn't all that important. We do need something. Draw some of these North Vietnamese units back up north, and that idiot Abrams can't understand that if he gave us two battalions of South Vietnamese to land in Ben, It might take a whole notary in the division office back.
Of course, to me, that's something that seems to be elemental mind, why that is done.
Well, they don't have the training right now. And almost anything they can do up north.
I have left 1 week to be in the school north Vietnam.
We're not even sure they've got that left, and right now I don't think they have literally no division left in North Vietnam at all. Anyways,
I agree that it would be useful to land for Marines to pass that point. We can do anything with South Vietnamese. I doubt that can be done. I think a landing operation is so technical, and the rest hell it took over our 2 years to develop. We're working through. I've got to know how to hire one. Of course, that was against a much more formidable enemy. The main point is this. I think we have to go now with blockade. I think it's going to go Monday. Let's go.
We have to go. It means we've got to bring water and food standing in the water.
Sure. Swearing secrecy. For once, he's not to tell Larry about that thing.
And we've got to get that. We can't let Russia. Russia can cover this like this anymore. And we've got to get a plan. So that we can start executing quickly. I've got to make that sure.
Well, Al, didn't Moore tell us on one occasion that he had a blockade ready in 48 hours?
Oh. He said that's all right. Much of the time,
thank God we got the task force out there. They've got the mines out there.
They have the rules of engagement. Then, if we want to force the ships out of the harbor, we ought to mine the harbor. And send the mines with whatever we want, 72 hours. Say that it's been sent so that any ships can leave for 72 hours. As soon as the ships are out, they have to level the harbor.
But they can't break lighters.
And then they can't lighter. Well, if we blockade, they can't lighter anyway, because we just won't let ships get in there. The lightering they could do only if we did nothing but mining. But I think if we do this now, Mr. President, the only posture from which to do it is one that we are going balls out, and that nothing is going to stop us. And if anyone wants to stop us, he's got to
do it. Who's been the one in this whole
round? No, always. You, consistently, I'm just saying, we'll get a lot of advice of saying, under what conditions. I remember the Cuban blockade.
You remember
that. You'll get a lot of advice on how softly you can phrase it, and how we can have boarding parties on these Russian ships that aren't going to break any China. The thing to do is to say ramifications. Anything that works,
they aren't coming
in. You're out of control.
They're not coming in. No ships will be allowed to come in, bringing these instruments of death in aimed at American forces. You see, we could have, John, how many are in Da Nang? Americans? 10,000, huh? 16 or 18,000. Could be cut off.
We've got 14,000 in Bin Long alone. If that's a black people, all it takes is one of these divisions to run wild, they can capture all 14,000. That's just one province below Bin.
And then they all have non-combat troops.
You have the goddamn stairlift to get them out.
Well, the humiliations of the United States.
Well, this is, I think, one of the things that we're talking about. Some kind of forces you have to keep your prey as a security force for U.S. lines.
Okay, you've got to
be a small force standing in offshore.
We've got 3,000 offshore.
And that's a very frightening thing. We say that probably against them. That's our position.
They know that?
Yes, they know. But if we're parked up a little farther north, psychologically, it was worse than hell out of them.
And I don't think you should make any threatening movement as you go. If We only think that matters now at times.
Oh, I know how they think.
Yeah, yeah. Monday night, I go on, I announce it's gotta be no more than 10 minutes story. Not that, with all the records and everything, let somebody else put the record out. I just gotta hit the high spots. 1,200 words, say I'm doing this, and we're doing it for purposes. Protecting American lives, obtaining our prisoners of war, preventing the imposition of communist governments off Vietnam by the invaders.
And I think you can say, Joe, use the words that Henry used in describing his perception. We've got to go with the police one. All every peace offer you made, I said you're gonna cover that. You just said to say that these offers were met with insolence and arrogance and defiance.
Insolence, arrogance, defiance, and stepping up the war.
I think, Mr. President,
That's it.
We really have no other choice because the other cause is going to be to, if this slow erosion of South Vietnamese conditions and their morale cracks, we are going to have to damn this mess anyone in
the room. In the meantime, Al, the main thing is, can South Vietnamese hold over the weekend? My problem, I was wondering, we could do something Friday night. Yeah, Henry, now you remember my intuitions are so wrong.
No, they can hold over the weekend. I think we've got to get it up.
You don't think they'll get away over the weekend?
No.
First division, is that good?
No. There'll be plenty of time. They haven't even started their artillery.
They get contumed over the weekend.
All right. They can take contumed any day. There's nothing you can do about it, Mr. President.
That is what?
Khartoum will take 48 hours whenever they are ready to move. When they are inching closer, but Khartoum is a good lesson for what they'll do with Hue. They're not going to inch up to Hue and get their artillery into place. And they'll move the B-25th Division into the Ashau Valley. They're very methodical. Their lines of communication are so long that they plan these things very carefully and on, and they do it. I don't think they'll start attacking Hue until the end of next week. Unless they make a sudden, they haven't got their tanks across that river yet. And I don't know whether you were there this morning before you spoke with this child, Volk says it's the loss is going to be yours, that's bad. It's just got to be. We have an incompetent air force, but they can't.
Not the men. It's the goddamn planes. They're not made to fight the modern war. Not this. They're made to fight a war 10 years from now.
But they've got planes over these roads now, day and night. They're using flares. They're using the B-52s. They have belts. They have made a shield block. They've made a survey of all the positions around Hue so that they can just bomb by coordinates. They don't have to bomb visually anymore. And I don't see that Hue can fall in prison.
Okay. Then we can wait then.
All right. I think this must be done in cold blood.
All right.
And we need to weekend to get it all out of that.
Well, I just don't think we ought to wait until morning to tell more. We've got to get in time and meet him
over the other.
Now, can I talk about a couple of other things? And Alice is going to change you. I think we have to remove Abrams. I think we ought to send you out.
We can get him.
say and do this without putting it through Larry. I'm not going to have Larry leak this all over the place, believe me.
If you would, then.
All right. Now, I remember that hairy conversation I had with him in the office 4 weeks ago where I said, by God, I'm the commander-in-chief, and there's a direct line. He says, right, Admiral. He said, yes, sir. And I'm, God damn it, does he understand this? He does not have to clear it with the
hunt. Well, the only place where he'll run into a problem is if he has to move a force. But he's got some thinking to do.
All right.
He's got some plan.
Well, we don't have to move any force until tomorrow. Anything he's got to do is get.
Also, I want to.
Yeah.
To get his bloody forces back.
You're going on TV Monday night?
Right. You'll have to cancel the dinner or postpone the dinner from our control. They're all day Monday. Set it for a week later, say that I'm closer to the trip. All right, what about Abrams? Civil War? You ever read about Lincoln and his generals? You remember Burnside? Remember all those assholes? Hell, if Lincoln had had Lee as his general, the war had been over in a year. Well, I mean it. Abrams was a great World War II general, and I think he's a fine man. But goddammit, he isn't doing the best thing here. Why? I guess you're right. I guess you're right. I'm afraid that it might create a. Is there any other way we can have the command? Get a different feel of command. Do you think of one, John?
About that sound of initiative, please.
it's the replacing of Abrams, not the sending of Hayward, Bob.
What leader?
The little guy? I remember that little son.
He's a mean fellow.
He's a mean fellow. I'll never forget, Henry, in 1965, I was out there. And he had been out. You know, he was one of the first generals to be out there. And I met him. They brought him over there, and I met him, and all he said, should he just come in, his unit had been cut to pieces and arrested. And I, of course, was out of office, and I said, General, I said, what do you need out here? You want to straighten this niche? And I said, yeah. Just more. That's right. We should have done it then by a hell of a lot. You right, John? It's this goddamn gradual escalation that the United States has done wrong on. Right?
Who is Abrams then?
Useless. Wines. He's a poker.
Who?
General Wines. He's one of the great poker artists. You know, he talks a great game. He's a soft man.
He used to think he was good.
I used to think he was good.
I thought both.
Well, they're both there. He will be as soon as Abrams.
One more question if we had somebody. Oh, I'll tell you. Abrams is. What do you think, John?
I don't know. What do you think?
I am, of course, going by the fact that without Al, he has to be very selfish.
All right, can we get a direct line of communication with him?
That's just the next question.
We can do that.
And also,
I've got another idea. We could send Al's ass out there to look over Abrams' shoulder.
You could send Al.
And then Al communicates with us all the time. There is the way.
But then,
does Abrams, your relationship with Abrams, he knows damn well that you're going to be his second.
If
he doesn't know it.
No, Mr. President, if Al goes out, he ought to take over.
Okay.
Well, why don't you have Abrams come back to the top of the
well, because then Lyons would be taking over.
Yeah, but he said Al out, that's a change for him. That's a change for him.
No, if my judgment is, well, of course, Al would have to.
Somebody on the spot that we can communicate with.
government, it's not about the best interest, it's left to me.
It's your government, not that, just you recognize.
I know, you know, Al is almost, Al is really very badly needed here. On the other hand, that's on the assumption that he'll get the most chief of staff job in the fall. If he doesn't get that, he could do a superb job in Vietnam. He knows what you want, knows you're thinking. We could stack it up, we could manage.
Well, we've got to remember what is the most important thing right now. Is the deputy joint chief of staff or winning the war in Vietnam?
Well, I'm sure it has to come before the
winning the war in Vietnam.
We've got to win it before Hall.
But Al's concern is not his taking over, it's the removal of Abrams.
That's no concern. I think Abrams doesn't understand. I mean, Al has to say this. Abrams doesn't understand. He's totally sensitivity to the political requirement. He's lacerated. He's bored himself for 3 years. And I hate to say this about a distinguished soldier. Abrams has felt nothing. He doesn't take care of the Vietnamese properly.
And he drinks too much.
I just think Abrams has to go anyway. So the only question
Grand
is
Grand
how should I help to help us? I have to add, if you will send Al on Monday, I'm sure the help will be a second.
We mean you'd replace Abrams with Al on Monday, is that what you're doing?
If you're going to replace Abrams with Al, no sense closing it out.
What does Abrams now report?
Blair.
Blair? Yes. He does come to the same time?
Yeah, he comes to the same time.
John, basically, let me be more direct. It does come to Blair every damn time you hear from Abrams. Blair sanitizes, corrupts, adds direct. Now you know that. Abrams is not his own man.
Well, Abrams has done too many things against his better judgment. He's pulled out troops too fast.
Well, wait a minute, we have helped him do that.
Sure, we helped him do it, but he never spoke up against it.
Well, now, Henry, no, in fairness, we were on this business of withdrawing. I think it was right, considering what we were up to at this point. Where Abrams is wrong, because it's all about that Vietnamization.
Abrams' spirit is broken. He just doesn't think anymore.
Just like Westmoreland's spirit is broken.
It's not even his fault, but the way he screwed up Laos last year, he has never really taken hold of this operation. I am very uneasy the way, I mean, they've got a plan now to assemble this first airborne division. I don't bother you with stuff like that, which to me doesn't look very confident. They're pulling one brigade out of Khartoum, guaranteeing the fall of Khartoum. They're pulling another one out of Anlock. It just doesn't seem to me that this is the way a competent person would do it. I'm not a military man, but
I am. What do you think, John?
I think you put too much importance on the little baby. Hell, I would lose it fast. I would question that. I certainly think Al would be a great successor, and I don't think it's going to create that much of a ripple, and if it does, so what? Who gives a damn? If he's not doing the job, then we're looking.
No one knows better what we need than Al.
I must say it frankly, I think Al's leaving, and I don't know if he's just ever, but I think it's going to cripple Henry to a remark completely, but that's something y'all left the way I can make that judgment. I just don't know. About the work he's doing for the NSC, but so I hate to get laid back. He can be out.
There's a place available. It must be quick.
Okay. Or Harriman, maybe.
No, I'm grooming another one for my cousin. I must keep my
cousin. We don't want to kill my
daughter, for Christ's sake. That's the guy we want to run against.
Jesus, don't give him any ear, people.
He's looking better than that.
obviously it was male Laird.
You can't have a commander out there who's reporting to Laird when you're trying to do something exactly the opposite of what Laird agreed with. You have to sidetrack Laird. And if you don't remove Abrams for any other reason, you have to do it for that.
Abrams has to go. He's got a long as much, too long as that now. That has nothing to do with Al. I can't even imagine my operation without Al. You can.
You can't without.
I can't. I'll start dealing with you, and I can't imagine any more impossible.
Who's got it?
Somebody. Somebody.
Let me ask you this, John.
How do we handle Laird?
I know how it happened Monday. I know telling you that with Laird, I think you should know that every troop is all I called him in 5 minutes before and told him about it. Yeah, we want to live the war.
necessary.
But the trouble is, Mr. President, the army is an awful threat. If two defeated commanders are put into chief of staff, two incompetent.
Well, what can you do to save Abrams' face? That's what I'm trying to answer.
Well, you ought not say it's his against the army. Put it that way.
Make him an ambassador or something.
How about making him ambassador, please, Bunker?
He's Bunker, who will kill you there. That's your man, that Abrams said, that he's Bunker.
How about making him sing a tag?
That was under original idea last week.
Who they made since you
got the new man?
That's got a new man. You heard that he put Russia to the man.
Can't do it. I wish McCain were still there. He'd be invaluable at this point for me.
Well, that's blockade. In no matter, government schedule to take the things. What's wrong with you?
He's fine. John, I'm just trying to think of a way to save Abrams' face. But I guess there's no way. Well, God, I hate to bring him back in disgrace.
Well, one other possibility is to keep him in his job and send Allah for 2 weeks.
That's what I
do. And say he's going to stay there.
Yeah.
For the White House, but might give us the best of everything.
Well, that's what I think.
Send Allah and just...
The first 2 weeks are what are critical. And I think if Al is out there,
For two or three weeks,
and he's there, and he reports to us every goddamn day.
And, we'll
and you write the POIO officers out. You're to write Abrams. You know what I mean? If I get an idea, and my ideas aren't very good, most of them usually, but goddamn it, if I say we want a massive strike on Hue, put the massive strike on Hue and quit farting around with just hitting two trucks every day. This, John, that'll work.
Yes, that'll work. Let me suggest, not in 2 weeks, at least par with that, you keep him there through your...
Yeah, through the crisis.
Television.
Huh?
Through your monthly television. Well, depending on what, I mean, don't have an arbitrary limit.
You don't have to put anything.
We're going to be in Moscow. Sure, I do.
We'll just send
no
presidential representative, and we'll give him whatever title he needs.
Yeah.
To act as liaison with the White House.
This is what we'll do. And Bob, I'll handle him directly from now on. No, you can handle Rogers. And that, I think, I've got an idea. No, seriously. No, wait a minute.
So I can only do that.
No. But Henry, not that he could do the messages and all that sort of thing, it'd be a great loss to me. But how about putting hold on your shot to do the hate.
Oh,
no, I'm serious.
I don't think
No, but you know, part of the problem is, Henry, that somebody's got to go kiss Roger's ass, and you've got good at ass kissing.
Well, look, I've operated without hate before, and we'll put
everything
with
it up. Out.
No, we'll split it up among two or three people.
All right. No,
and
seriously.
Nothing else with Bob.
John, I was...
Many things.
I agree. What I meant is Al, he just can't imagine the things he's done.
I'm sure.
Al has had to handle Rogers. He's had to handle Laird. You know what I mean? These jealous, vain people. I don't mind vanity.
I'm not going to have bad ideas.
But Alderman can handle Rogers.
Absolutely.
And that's your job. Fair enough. You agree with that, Al?
We can handle if Bob, I don't think it works with Bob being my job, but if Bob and I got together every morning,
sure.
And I gave him some of the administrative things that come through my office.
The things that the Hague does administratively to give to Bob.
And some of the...
No.
Well, not set, we can set your office up.
We can set up a machinery.
You know the guy that would be perfect for it? For Christ's sake, we just made him head of the FBI. He was Radford's top man.
We know the other guy would be superb. We've already got him. Temporary base, he can go in there and know what it all is.
Want Scowcroft? He is tough.
So
Let me think about it, because it's got to be somebody that I can work with, and it's got to be somebody.
Shawcross is icy, he's like Al that way, he's cool, mean, he's like Al, got everything that Al's got. You Catholic?
Probably, I don't have to talk to him.
And Mara's not coming over.
Well, she's, you know, she's got that shiny glass. I made the channel, I was just going to work. I better go, because I have to give a speech on that about the advantages of what we are expecting out of the Senate.
Nice.
I'll just explain it.
Well, then what do you want me to do? I'll just tell Mark if he comes over here, or not if he comes.
I think the main, we should keep him fairly cool. The only thing you need to tell Mark is that he is to tell nobody.
Well, Al, you and I will talk tomorrow.
That's right. But we shouldn't, the trouble is anything else you tell him, he's going to take very literally, and I think. Hello?
Is he on his way?
And the only other thing we should do is to make sure that the only thing we need from him tonight is an assessment of the forces, make sure he's got enough to work out rules of engagement and to keep his mouth shut. Then tomorrow we work out the piece, and then tomorrow we get a little working group together to work these things out.
Right.
And then we spend the weekend to get every detail tied up.
Right.
So that when you go on, it's going to work like clockwork.
Who's going to work on the speech?
We'll get to work and maybe have you.
Hold on, this one. That's fine. Just, well, you can work on it too. The problem is, of course, I'll do my writing, but I do need some help with that. I shouldn't have to do the whole thing.
We'll have the first draft for you by tomorrow night.
But don't bring Andrews in on this one. I think that we just don't.
My people, Floyd will be the editor.
He's better than any of the others. He's better than any of the others. The difficulty is that he's not our learner.
Andrew.
Hello, Thomas. How are you?
Hello. I brought Mr. Preston.
All right.
Sorry I'm late. I was
got out
relieving John Chaffee.
Oh, yeah. You want me to? No, I'm sorry.
What? You want me to excuse myself?
No, I want you to be here. Unless you've got...
No, I have nothing. No, I...
Admiral, what I'm going to say to you now is total confidence in the relationship with Commander-in-Chief and Chairman-in-Chief and Staff. Nothing is to go to the Secretary. Nothing is to go to you now. That's what I'm about to say. I decided that we've got to go on a blockade. I'm going to announce it Monday night on television. I want you to put a working group together, start a meeting with absolutely the best people that you've got. I think you've done a lot of work on it already.
Oh, yes, sir. We all said.
And if I announce it Monday night, if I tell you now, which I am now doing, can you be ready that it can be in place too?
Oh, yes, sir.
All right. Now, what we have in mind, in addition to blockade, is that I want as much use of our air assets as we can spare in the battlefield. I don't want to take Abrams' word on this program, but as our air assets, so that we can, at the very least, take out the railroad unit that has to go on. And then the POL, the power plants, et cetera, et cetera. After the ships get out, we'll take out the docks. Now, what if you can imagine is momentous. It is one of their what can you tell me?
Mike, can you move?
Well, sir, as you know, we've done quite a bit of thinking about this already.
Yes, sir.
It's have to be a matter of converting some of the ships, combining air surveillance of the approaches to Haiphong with the positioning of the ships, making the necessary announcements, giving the ships their rules of engagement, what they do. I think they're prepared to that. We've used the destroyers for this purpose.
We need more ships out there.
Well, I think
got quite a gang out there.
We've got quite a few ships, and we've got some more arriving. I think we've probably got enough ships to start, sir.
And if you could, by tomorrow, give us a rough outline of
And also, I need a rough outline of the air assets that can be spared for strikes, I understand. I'm not ordering the leading strikes that they're on.
Yes, sir, we can't. We didn't get
to play, but I let A refuse those. But I want, I've already told you, I want once. I want a massive, I want 50 feet, 52s on the way forever. Just one night. Maybe one.
Yes, sir. For a while.
You do that just one night.
Yes.
Heading the boats on the way from. You gotta remember the way is like we're not. Germans made a mistake, French made a mistake, trying to defend. But it had to be defended. And with the German psychology, it had to be attacked because it's simple. It was way exactly the same thing. You can lose confidence. There's a hell of a lot of it, but you can't lose way. And we gotta get those 52s in there. I think I'll take one damn little whack if there's enough to hit.
Yes, well, they've been, working heavily on the, Asheville Valley, which is where we think some of the
most important.
Again, I talked to Senator Bowman Hall, and he said that daylight hours of the last night, he was really worked on. We can put some
air vents to
yes.
But I can have one massive piece of destruction in that area.
Use their ship to shell another northeast area, or to use the aircraft to mine the channel, or to do something, for them to do something, in retaliation, what they haven't done yet. What they've been doing is just simply, falling back on these strong points. And they haven't, moved out against the enemy.
Well, find a way that they can play a role in the blockade. Can they do that?
Well,
you talk about the channels and those kinds of things.
To some degree, yes, but I think they could
that's so much,
mine some of the southern ports. Southeast can do that. But I would think from a morale point of view, too, that they could get the, publicized that they had inflicted punishment on North Vietnamese, similar to that they've suffered for years. I don't see any difference at all in South Vietnamese dropping bombs in a North Vietnamese city as opposed to this North Vietnamese shelling Hanoi for 30 days.
I couldn't agree more. I'm all for it. The South Vietnamese Air Force has the capability there to do that. I'm going to go up there and let them drop their damn bombs. That's perfectly all right. You agree, John?
Yes, sir. I assume that you would say the South Vietnamese have no and 50 landing capability where they can land.